Hi friends, this is Angie,
Becca,
Heather,
Bonnie,
your host of the Seasons Ministry Podcast. We thank you for joining us back for session two on the verses found in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And I'm going to read those again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. So before we just dive into those first four words, trust in the Lord, Bonnie, would you remind us of the definition of trust?
Yes, from the Oxford Languages, trust is firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something.
And we love that because that's just a general. And as Becca covered last session, we tend, just by being living beings, to trust in something or someone. But Heather, would you share what the biblical definition of trust is?
Yes. So in the Hebrew, the word for trust is pronounced, forgive me, batak, which means to be confident while having the feeling of safety and security in someone or something else.
And so here in Proverbs, the wisdom that is being instilled to us is to trust in the Lord. So we want to just start our conversation there. We recognize that everyone listening may not have a trust in the Lord yet. So ladies, I would just say, why? Why have you found in your lifetime to trust in the Lord?
And I think I would say even maybe you trust him in some things, but not in all things.
Absolutely.
Because I think that we find ourselves in different places, different times, things that we have been challenged in, and we feel we have grown in trust in God are good. And then there may be something that we have never really had to trust God with before. And then it's like, I'm really nervous about this. I'm uncertain about this. I like how both of those definitions use firm belief, confident belief. And I think that a lot of times that doesn't describe us. So when we're looking at how we apply that trust into different areas of our lives, we'll talk about this again. We've talked about it lots of times before in this group. Just about how we look back at different times in our lives where we have trusted in God before and we have seen him work. And a lot of times when I'm struggling with trusting him in something now, I look back into the past at things that God has done before, and that encourages me to trust him now. And God encouraged people to do that a lot in Scripture as well. And I think we'll get into more of those things, but even in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, I wasn't planning on talking about this yet, but in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 37 through 41, I think I have it marked, God actually tells the Hebrews to put this fringe on their clothes. Tassels on their garments is what my Bible calls them, but in 37 of chapter 15, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a cord of blue on that tassel in each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you're inclined to, so that you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So God knowing and remembering, one of my favorite ways that God refers to us is that he remembers that we're made from dirt. So we joke about that a lot in our women's Bible study at church, that God remembers that we're dirt. And so he remembers. And he knows our limitations, and he knows our weaknesses. And because he knows who we are, he wanted them to have a daily reminder of who he is, and to look at him and look towards him and to follow his rules and not to incline after your own heart or your own eyes. but to follow him. So every day, and they would recite the Shema, trust the Lord, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and all those verses as they were getting dressed every day. And they would put those fringes on. And then later in Luke chapter 8, and I think it's Matthew chapter 9, when that woman who had the bleeding problem came to Jesus, she was not trusting in what the church was telling her was right because she was unclean. But she was trusting the Lord, and she was following the leading of the Lord and leading of the Holy Spirit to reach out to Jesus, because he was the one who brought that healing that she knew she would get when she touched. And it says that she touched the fringes, which is exactly what these strings are. And it was just that representation of Jesus being the thing that we look to every day, remind ourselves to follow after him, to look to him. And so I think that part of that trusting in the Lord is something that we need to remind ourselves every day, who he is, that this is what he wants for us, and just to be in that habit of trusting. So I think for me, that's something that I try to do when I'm feeling weak, shaky, faint, lacking in trust, a lot of doubt. Then that's what I like to do, is to look back to who he is and what he's done before.
Yeah, and one of the most wonderful things, I mean, there's so many wonderful things about Jesus. I could just talk about him all day long. But he knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to have physical weakness, you know. And one of the great things about Jesus is we can trust him in our humanity. We can trust him, of course, spiritually, but we can trust him in our humanity. And I find that so amazing that he can identify with us in that. And we can trust him, like, you know, I'm not feeling very well, or I'm having health issues, or, you know, I'm just tired all the time. Like, he took naps. He did. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be human. And we can trust him in our human affliction, because he knows what it's like to be a human.
Yeah, our trust is based on God's character. And who God is. Isaiah 41:10 states, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's God's promise to us. And therefore, because of who he is, our trust is in the Lord.
Yeah, so what it has me thinking is for the first 20 years of my life, before I placed my trust in the Lord, I was trying to trust in myself or the people around me. And I just kept falling flat on my face, or didn't prove to be enough for myself or for anyone. And I started taking notice to these people who seemed to have more of a peace about them. And I had believed that there was God, but I hadn't developed this relationship yet. And I think that's what you were saying, Becca, like, trust, yes, when we confess that Jesus is our Lord, in that moment, we are promised eternity, to always, you know, to one day fully be in his presence, but we have him with us now. And so day after day, we have the choice to trust him in whatever we find ourselves stepping into. And just to take it back to what Bonnie said this morning, as I'm thinking about trusting in the Lord, it's growing and knowing who he is that I cannot be. And I remembered this book, it's Jen Wilkins' None Like Him. And in it, she just puts beside, you know, there are some attributes of God that we can grow in, like that peace I was talking about, or the holiness, different attributes that I see in each of you ladies, that is one of the gifts in being your friend, that I get to learn and see more of him through each of you. But there are things that only God is. And I'm just going to read from a page in her book where she just lists out the attributes that only God is. He's infinite. He's incomprehensible. He's self-existent, self-sufficient. He's eternal. He's immutable, unchanging. He's all-present. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And he's sovereign over all things. So when I go back to that list, that's who I want to place my trust in.
Sorry, I was writing that down. Yeah, knowing who God is, and not just knowing but believing. And I think in the last session we talked about some of those things like faith and trust and hope and belief and how they all sort of build on each other and kind of connect to each other. But right, I think that the more that we know about God, like just this Bible, I know for me, I think for granted and forget that not everyone assumes that this is the living word of God. And so starting with that belief that God is the author of this, and in 2 Timothy it says all scripture, which is these 64 books, is it 64? Books are God-breathed and useful for so many wonderful things. Helps us to then read it like it's truth, mm-hmm. and read it like it's a testimony of who God is. And we have been talking in Philippians. Right now, our women's group at church is going through the Philippians Bible study that Seasons did. Mm-hmm. And so we just talked about lights in the world and lights in the darkness, and how as Christians, we are reflectors of who God is and God's character, and not independently righteous and holy and peaceful and all of the things, but reflections of those things from Him. And then remembering that our trust in Him is a reminder to the world of who He is. The things that we reflect are some of the only testimony that some people receive of who He is. So there was something else that I wanted to read. I don't know if I can find it very quickly. Anyway, I'll come back to it. So thinking about our trust in, it's in Philippians chapter 2. I don't remember now. It talks about how we have a reasonable mind. Oh, no, it's chapter 4. 4:5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As I was reading that this morning and thinking about how our reasonableness would be known to everyone, and knowing that that is really a way of saying our trust in God, our reflection of who He is, the peace that we have helps us witness to the world who He is. I can trust in Him, and my reasonableness can be known to everyone. And I can, the verse right before that says, rejoice in the Lord always. So even when we are in situations where we have anxiety, when we're bringing things to God's feet in prayer and supplication, that we still have that trust and that peace because we know who He is. And that helps us move from anxiety to trust and peace and rest.
Absolutely, and trust with believers does not seem reasonable to the world. You know, they don't understand, you know, how we can just be trusting, and by doing that is staying in the Word of God, praying, seeking community, and with other like-minded individuals, and iron sharpening iron friends are just amazing to have and what we strive to be. And a lot of times, you know, when the world looks at us, they kind of think we're crazy because we just... You know, we don't trust in the things of this world. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of 1 Kings with Elijah. And when he was being fed in chapter 17 by the ravens. Now, ravens were considered to be unclean. But yet he still trusted the Lord with these ravens to bring him food. And Angie was saying before we started recording, like, ravens aren't known to come back to the same. And so he was trusting of these ravens who were considered unclean to bring him food. And that may have looked very odd. I mean, he was by himself, but that would have looked very odd to the Jewish nation. It would have looked very odd that he would trust in the ravens. And are you sure they're sent from God? This is an unclean bird. And the fact that he goes to a Gentile woman and she feeds him, that would look very odd. So a lot of times we think it's reasonable because we trust God, but the world doesn't understand our trust, but they are curious about it, I should say. They're very curious about it.
Well, I think because trusting God for us believers, that gives us an increased awareness of his presence. And then that develops our security in God and who he is and what he provides for us. I was in my research, I came across Jody Lee Cates and listing ways to trust God more. And I'm just briefly going to go through those to see what might bring up in terms of our thinking. Know who you're trusting. Believe God wants you to grow your own way. Develop your trust by remembering what God has already done, and we've talked about that, just remembrance of past. Lean to trust God in difficult times by sharing life with his people. We've talked over and over and over about the importance of community. Examine the evidence in the pages of your Bible. Know God's word. Mm-hmm. How often do we say that? Stop what you're doing and pray. The importance of prayer. Leave your brokenness with God. Listen for God's guidance. Follow God's lead. Don't wait for a crisis to begin trusting God. You know, how often does it take a crisis in our lives to truly get serious about trusting God and depending on him? You know, when we have nothing else, when we don't have any more of ourselves to trust,
right.
You know, that we trust God. I found that a little insightful with.
Yeah, and I love that. And I put exclamations beside the evidence part. And that's why we say, just like Becca said earlier, like we believe in this word. This word gives you evidence. So if you're unsure, just start reading it. And the beauty is the more you grow in knowing him, you'll see evidence of Jesus way back throughout all the Old Testament. That's why Elijah's being sent to the Gentiles, because the message always was for the Gentiles. But there's just endless treasure that can be found. And although he is incomprehensible, he desires for us to grow in knowing him. And those are all those things. Grow in knowing him. He wants us to remember. Like, he's giving us all these tools to say, I just don't want you to say you trust in me. Like, I'm giving you these tools so that you can actually trust in me, because I have always proven to be trustworthy. And that's what I love, is just there's evidence all throughout Scripture that says from the very beginning, his redemption plan was through his son. Therefore, like, he gave up his very own son. And you know, you talked about the humanity, and I was taken back to Philippians. I love the Christ hymn where Jesus empties himself. He empties himself of himself. Can you say that way? Maybe I should look at how they say it. Having this mind, so this is Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So we can join in thinking the same way that Jesus thought, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of humanity. And in Luke 2, I think, is it? Yeah, right at the end of Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He already was fully wisdom, but he emptied himself of that so that he could come and relate to us and know. And even his prayer, when he had to face the hardest, was, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but not what I will, what you will, God. So that is the greatest of all trust. And so that's why we keep looking back to him. Like all those things, Bonnie, just, we practice trust every day so that when the big thing comes, all the little things that we've trusted and seen him proven trustworthy help us to lean into that trust when we don't understand what's going on.
So, Heather, as we are talking about this, I know you have something to share from 1 Kings about Elijah. He has, just to, I guess, sort of set the stage, he has come from this big religious victory where all of the prophets of the devil were there, and they were, the false gods, and they are doing their sacrificing whatever, and he brings a bunch of stuff, including water, which they were in a drought for 3 years at this point. So he took this very valuable possession of jugs and jugs and jugs of water and pours it on the sacrifice, lights it on fire. It's completely consumed. Then he takes his sword, kills all of the false prophets, and then runs away.
Yes.
Tell us what happened there.
Well, it's so interesting. Elijah's life is really fascinating. I was sharing with the ladies, I'm actually in 1 Kings right now in my own personal studies, but it his trust, you know, and a lot of times after a huge religious or spiritual victory, Satan comes for us, right? He comes for us. And we know that Satan used Jezebel. And Jezebel was coming for him, and Elijah's like, I got to get out of here. You know, and he just flees. Now, there was this huge showing of God on this mountain. There was a huge showing, and yet he trusted God, right? He trusted God that he was going to bring fire down onto the altar. He trusted that. And then someone gets mad, as AKA Jezebel, and he flees. And I feel like that showed a little bit of non-trust. But in his prayer to God, one of the greatest ways that we can show trust, and I've had to learn this in my journey as a Christian, because I thought I couldn't share everything with God in prayer because it was disrespectful to him, to question him. But we have a whole book, Lamentations, right, to lament. And he wants our lament, right? And I believe he would prefer us to lament to him than to the whole world, right, of everything that's going wrong. But I feel like Elijah showed so much trust in being transparent with God in his weakness. So in 1 Kings 19, verse 9, he's at Horeb, and he said, he went to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he's being very honest about where he's at, spiritually, emotionally, even physically. And what I find so amazing is he proceeds to show Elijah an earthquake, but God was not in it. A fire, but God was not in it. The wind knocking the rocks off the mountain. But God was not in it. What God was in was the gentle blowing. And we can look back and see God in great big things, right? We can see him. But the place that I see him most is in the gentle blowing, in that quiet time with him, in prayer, in reading the word, and just worshiping him privately and alone. Yes, we need community, and we are commanded to have community. But when I see him the most is in that gentle blowing.
Quietness and stillness. And I think, I've always said, the greatest hand, I think, in the devil's hands right now is busyness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. As you think of how busy we are. And when we think, you know, our session one was just in general, trust and why trust. And now this, our emphasis is on trust in whom? Trust in the Lord. And why trust in the Lord? because he is who he is. You know, Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, mm-hmm. today, and forever. Do we know anyone else like that?
No. What really stuck out to me when I was looking through those verses in 1 Kings 19 is the word of the Lord came to him. When he's running, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So it's in the secret spaces that we build with this relational God. And he's not scared of those places we don't trust. That's what he's really been showing me, because just like Adam and Eve, I want to hide. I want to hide when he's revealing those places in my heart, because he wants all of my heart to trust in him. I want to take those and just run the opposite way. And I want to pout like Elijah and think, there's no one here to help me. What is this world and the evil and the brokenness and the darkness, however you want to see your own Jezebel chasing after you. I can't. I get to the end of myself. And God's saying, where are you? Like, I never asked you to lean on trusting yourself. Come back to me. But he does it in that gentle whisper because he is the loving Father.
Yes, and I think that's where we can rest in trust. Mm-hmm. Because there's a hurricane or an earthquake,
fire,
you know, all of these crazy things that are loud and big, mm-hmm. and consuming. But he's so close, even in that loudness, that a whisper is all you need. You can hear in that gentle, quiet whisper, like his lips to your ear sort of sound. You know, he's right there with you, so close. And you think about a little kid being afraid of a storm and running to a parent, and the parents just pulling them in close and holding on to them, our refuge. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier, Bonnie, he is there and he is in control. And he's whispering those words to us, trust in me. Not saying, why don't you trust in me? You know, because I figure most people have learned that when your child is upset, yelling at them does not calm them down.
Right.
But when you're comforting them, holding them close, when he was comforting Elijah, feeding him, using the birds to bring him what he needs, ministering to him through the angels, he's comforting him and giving him rest as he restores Elijah's trust in who he is. He's in control. And that's what we want. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want for ourselves. That's what we want for you, is that rest, that trust, that reasonableness of mind, that you can rejoice in the Lord, which Paul wrote from prison, because he was in prison, freezing to death, not, I'm sure the hotel didn't have a lot of amenities there, struggling badly physically, an old man. I mean, I have slept on a floor in a lock-in, and it's terrible. I can't imagine sleeping on the stone floor of a prison or dirt floor, whatever it is, as an old person. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. And it's because he trusts in God. It's because he's fully, I guess, engulfed in who God is, and full of trust and contentment in who God is and what God's plan is and the purpose in that. So as we wrap up this section about trusting in the Lord, next time we're going to talk about trusting the Lord with all of your heart, which is another whole thing. And believe it or not, 30 minutes at least to talk about. So Bonnie, would you wrap us up in prayer as we finish this one today?
Absolutely. Kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we just praise you today and tomorrow as well, that you are a God that knows what's going on. You know the hows, the whens, and the whys. And Father, because you are faithful and trustworthy, we just praise you that we can trust in you, because you will never forsake us and never leave us and never change. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.